Hello and welcome to Bricks and Banter, the show with real talk from the custom LEGO community. I'm your host as always, Billy. Now, before we get carried away with this week's exciting guest, I have just a few announcements. First, it's a quick reminder that while you're listening to the show, you can head on over to the Instagram page for the podcast. And every episode, I post a wrap-up with that week's photos relating to the discussion. So if there's anything that gets discussed that you have no idea what is happening, you could go get filled in, be in the loop while you're listening to the podcast. Go check it out. It's bricks_and_banter on Instagram. Follow us there. It's also a great way to keep up with when the new episodes are released, be informed of upcoming guests, and send in questions that could potentially be asked to the guests. So you never know. Be active there. Check it out. Next, I want to thank this podcast sponsor, Nate's Minifigs. He has an expansive catalog of high-quality resin-printed parts with themes ranging from Star Wars to superheroes to Halo and even some general accessories like pouches, armors, glove tops, and the newly released backpacks. Super hyped for those. I gotta get my order in. He's not locked down to one genre either, and I know personally there's a lot more cool stuff on the horizon, so make sure to keep on checking him out. And if none of those themes excited you and you're a bit of a modder, there's so much kitbashing potential, and that's what really excites me about all of his products. So I urge you to go check him out, support those who support the podcast, and if you do, make sure to use code BM4 at checkout for 15% off. That's right, you'll get 15% off with code BM4 at checkout. natesminifigs.com, go support. Now, with all of that out of the way, it's an honor to introduce this week's guest. He is a giant in the custom printing world and possibly one of the kindest men I know. This week's guest is Victor Fernandez, the owner and designer behind Eclipse Graphics. So with no further ado, let's get right into it. Yeah, and then I have intro music now, and then it smooths right into the conversation.
Oh, so sweet.
And then I smooth it in with something like this. And we're here with Vic, the man, the myth, the legend. How are you doing, Vic?
I'm doing good. Well, that's a nice way of cutting in.
Yeah, I know. How smooth is that, huh? And they won't even know. They won't even know about that finesse right there. Anyways, it's been, too long. I feel bad. I feel like any person that I get on at this point that's like a really good friend, I just have to feel bad that it's taken this long to get them on the podcast. So I do apologize, but we're finally out here. We're doing it. We're doing it before the 30 mark. So that's something to celebrate, right?
Apology not accepted. Sorry, dude. I'm getting off.
Well, it is a real pleasure to have you on.
Wait, what show is this again?
It's a Bricks and Banter, but with Boon Built. Not BM4, of course.
So that's why I'm here. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know what to say. Introduce yourself for the people at home.
Hi, I'm Victor. I'm sorry.
Terrific.
Okay. I'm Eclipse Graphics. I mean, that's what everybody calls me. Very few people call me Victor. So this is Eclipse Graphics. Reporting to you live from the basement.
Do you think that's the case? I think everyone just talks about you as Victor.
It depends. People come to the booth and be like, hey, is this Eclipse? Hey, it's this... Other people who want to like get the in, they're like, hey, Victor. And they kind of gamble on whether or not I know who they are.
If they're trying to schmooze you?
Yeah, basically.
Right. Makes sense. This is actually the first podcast that I'm like physically recording after Brick Fair, because I had the other one pre-recorded that aired after it. Mm. So, yeah. How are you feeling after Brick Fair?
Still sad because it's after Brick Fair.
Mm-hmm, of course. I'm excited for the next one, though. It's only going to be bigger and better. This year felt like we needed a recoup for like the year missed and like get back into the swing of things.
Yeah, Todd was telling me that it seemed like everybody was just tired of being home, and he was like joking around. He says, "I think I should do this Brick Fair Virginia every 18 months instead of every year."
Oh goodness! Oh goodness! That'd be something. It would definitely make people appreciate it more, but I don't really like that.
What, we're gonna have a winter brick fair?
I was gonna say no. There can't be no. What do you guys call it? Fight club in the winter. I don't know.
No, we're gonna be skiing in the parking lot.
Or try ski fight club. I don't know.
That yeah, no, we can't. That'd be so strange to be going there in a coat.
that'd look kind of shady too. It'd be harder to spot the thieves too.
Well, then I could blend in with all the, you know, illegal Lego I have under my coat at many brick fairs. Well, anyways, for most shows, I like to have the guest just bring us back down memory lane of how they got started. I don't want to through too much stuff that we already touched on during the Brick Nerd article, but it's always a good starting point, and we can just feel free to tangent off as we go. So, what got you interested into Lego?
I don't remember the article.
This is just a totally new conversation. Don't worry about
basically, it. Basically, I'm a boomer. Boomers have memory issues. Okay, so.
Boomer.
What got me back into it or into Lego? I mean, I was into Lego when I was in third grade, but I was Poe, so I didn't own any Legos. I played with the Lego at school, and I built little cars out of 5 pieces because we really didn't have as many pieces as you Zoomers have nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're a Zoomer. I don't even know what the heck I'm saying.
I'm not sure which I am. It don't matter. I'm a 2000s kid. That's how I really classify it.
You're not a T-fool anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm still in the middle ground, I suppose. Actually, soon enough, I won't be a T-fool. That's weird. I'll be full A-fool next month. Mm. I don't like that.
Celebrate it. It only goes down here from there.
Yeah, ain't that right?
But that's a long dark age because at my wedding, Maggie and I got married. We renewed our vows, and then we went to Disney. At Disney, most people know there's a downtown Disney with a Lego store there, and I was there with my son. And I used him as an excuse to buy Lego because all I saw was cool stuff to buy. I was like, yep. Jonathan, you want this, right? And this, right? And Lego's expensive, though, dude. So after I looked at all the big sets that I wanted for myself, I looked at all the little ones. And I said, we can afford this for you, this for you, and this for you. But it only got out of hand after that. I mean, I think we were buying Lego pretty consistently after that. And I still had not known about the community online or about mocks, making your own creations.
Right.
So I would grab whatever he had, and we would just, you know, act out a scene, cops and robbers, this is the park. And then I would grab everything that we had and make a bigger scene. And I think our favorite thing back then was Agents.
Oh, yeah.
And then Star Wars finally came around, and that's when I started doing some research online on how to get him some cool Star Wars clone troopers. And God, man, back then, I mean, it's still expensive, but compared to back then, you guys have it easy. Back then, you would get really crappy figures that you couldn't even play with for $65, $70. And all you could do with this was put it on your shelf and make sure it was not in direct sunlight because it would still ruin it. Put it on a shelf and look at it and admire it. That's what you could do with it because it said light play and display use only. And I was like, there's no way in hell I'm buying my son a $65 figure and hope that he never touches it.
Yeah.
And so then I started learning how to do, you know, my own stuff because I was a graphic designer or still am. And I started learning how to do decals, how to decal my own stuff. I learned a lot through there was an online forum community called the CABG, Clone Army
Cabbage,
and Builder.
As you were saying, yeah.
Cabbage, but it's Clone Army Builders Guild. Eventually it turned into some custom and building guild.
The website's actually still up. I looked it up after the article.
Really?
I think it was
any actions in it.
It was like 2 months ago. There was like a post like on the blog section, and I was like, oh, that's interesting.
It's interesting that but I can't get to it through Cabbage. Anyway, I doubt it's too active because the main, there was like 4 people who were actually running it, and most of them are on Instagram now or have their own lives, and they don't have time to play with other little kids. Which sounds really weird. But yeah, I mean, from there, I learned how to make some stuff. I posted stuff on the internet, never really thinking of selling it. I just wanted to show off. Hey, look, I made a cool clone. And then people were like, oh, can I buy that?
Like on joining Flickr and stuff?
It was on, Flickr was the first place I started doing that at. And then I was in between jobs and had a kid. So I was like, sure, I can use the money. And I sold the first one, sold the second one. Eventually, I was like, okay, I got to make more than one-offs. And then in my neighborhood, not in my neighborhood, but in New York, there was an event, a small little Lego event. And I was like, okay, I'll get a table there and I'll try to sell see what I can sell. I never knew how to price any of this stuff. But I think that was the first time Maggie went with me, and we did pretty well for somebody who came out with a base plate, with two base plates and about 100 figures. And I think half of them sold. We came back home with more money than I thought I was going to have. I mean, it was not a lot of money, but it was still more than I thought I was going to sell.
Right.
What
would you have been pricing your figures at that time?
I think I was pretty much the same, $15 to $18, depending on how many accessories they had. Mm. But these are decaled figures, so I guess it was still cheaper than most decaled figures.
Definitely, yeah. I went through the Flickr just to check about when you started. It looks like February 1st, 2010 is your first Flickr post, so...
That's probably because a lot of my older stuff got deleted.
You privated or deleted? Yeah.
Deleted because I stopped paying for it.
Right. When do you think you joined in then?
Joined to sell or joined in general?
Oh, in general.
2009.
Okay. Yeah.
Towards the end of 2009.
Yeah. I'm looking. Was the custom lightsabers your first like big thing?
That was the first thing that started getting us noticed was the custom lightsabers, I believe.
Yeah. How were you making those? Was it like on a lathe or something?
A special type of lathe. The person who taught me told me I'm never allowed to tell anybody. So that's as far as I can tell you. It was a special
the blood
lathe.
Oath. That's cool, basically, though.
And then I added my own little secret touches to it to make it look like it wasn't lathed, which is what everybody else is all, you know, how do you do that? So, yeah.
So you were the tanner before Tanner.
I doubt it. Tanner can do stuff with paint and knives that I can never even try.
Fair enough. Touche.
I'm a little too scared of cutting myself, and this dude is like, I don't know. I have no idea how he does his lines.
We got to get you out to the modding workshop next year.
I told Maggie. I said, Maggie, next year I have to hang out with the kids.
Hell yeah. Got to be one of the boys next year.
I was like, I'll hire your brother to come and help out or something. I don't know, but I got to hang out at the modding table, at least for the public days. I mean, the private days.
Yeah. Yeah. No. You could totally sneak away during the private days.
I don't think you were there.
I mean, of all the opportunities, too, it would be during a private time.
Yes.
All right. So going from there into the decals, at what point did you decide to get into custom printing? Or how did custom printing even like come on your radar?
So after that first event and spending, I think it was a week or maybe a few nights doing 100 figures, I said, never again will I decal a figure. I think after that, what I started doing was making you have the decal sheet now that I think about
it. I do. I'll throw that in the wrap-up post.
I was making decal sheets, and I was like, you buy them, you make them.
Oh, okay.
So I was the first AV figures. There you go. I don't know. I don't even think I was the first. But
such a trendsetter.
But yeah, I said to myself, I'm not doing this again. I got to find somebody to print for me. At that point, David Hall was like, oh, my buddy Tyler can do this for us. And he did, and we never did it again through him. No, we're not knocking him. He knows exactly why. It was a bad printer. It was so bad that after you print it, and I guess it was not really the printer. It was more like the technology that was available for digital printing back then.
Right.
You would print it, and then you would have to clear gloss it afterwards by hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he sprayed enough, or maybe if he was sprayed, because he handled the printing and the clear glossing. And if you find any of these figures from our first print run today, you'll find that they're like ghost prints. It's like half the whole thing is pretty much rubbed off. Back to that light play and display use only. I did not know that until I got my own. And I was like, what the hell? And I was like, okay, we're not doing that. We've got to find somebody else. But yeah, it was through him. I guess if you did too much clear glossing, it might have erased the print. I'm not sure. Then we found somebody else at our first Lego convention. We found somebody else to do it for us. And then he did it for us for years. And he told me what printer he was using. He told me, hey, why don't you, you know, you do so much volume. Why don't you get your own printer? And I'll throw work your way. I said, oh, that sounds great. I did that. He never threw work my way.
Well.
But at least he let me know what model he was using.
Yeah.
I regret that decision because I'd rather just outsource and keep having fun. But
interesting.
I can't go back.
Obviously, you can't go back now. Sure.
But I had more of a life. And I actually built back then. I would send stuff to print. And then I would be like, okay, 2 weeks to have fun and do whatever I want. And then the stuff would come in.
Yes.
But in fact, there were many nights. Okay, so back to... you asked a question before we started on why I get to events late.
Yeah, jokes from Jeremy was asking in the poll from Instagram.
Back in 2012, I think was our first Brick for Virginia where we actually had a table. I was there and I had half my inventory there because I was waiting for the other half to get there from this particular printer who was staying up 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning to print my stuff and then ship it to me. So I can't do that anymore because I stay up now. Because
now
five.
You're that foolish printer staying up till 5 in the morning.
Exactly. And so I have like these grand ideas of everything that I want to bring to Brick Fair. I'm going to bring all this stuff. And so I keep printing and don't sleep. Print for 48, 72 hours straight. And then my body says, Victor, you better go to sleep or I'm going to get sick. And I'm like, okay, I'll take a nap. And then Brick Fair Wednesday comes up and I'm like, you know what? Nobody's there on Wednesday. I'm going to keep printing. And I tell myself, okay, I give myself a cutoff. Now I started giving myself a cutoff. And I'm like, you know what? This is not that important. I'm just not going to – that's it, Maggie. Let's pack it up. Once this is done, we're done with it. That's basically it. I just got to give myself a sooner cutoff because you kids all want something new, something cool to come out. And I'm like, I got to restock the heavy hitters here.
For sure, right?
First.
No, you got to have something for when the public comes in because that's where the big money is going to be.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. It's like 50-50 now, I think.
It definitely gets the people who are consistent customers coming to your table if there's something exclusive, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's also a thing.
That's the battle that I go through every Brick Fair.
Right, to juggle the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Wednesdays have totally shifted. They used to be a completely dead day. And before it started to shift. Were you not aware of this? I'm pretty sure I've told you this. Before.
No, I was not.
Goodness. Okay, yeah. Now,
2 years ago.
Wednesdays are hitting now.
Okay, well, I guess I'll be there Wednesday or Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
Tuesday night, so I can sleep a little.
That would be...
I hate rolling up in there.
Victor
and
on a full night of sleep?
No, I didn't say anything about a full night of sleep, but I hate rolling up in there on, let's say, for instance, this year it was Thursday
night,
but it's still Thursday, and I'm still working, and selling until to 3 o'clock in the morning. I was there to 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning until they kicked
out. Until they kick you out. Yeah,
yeah. But if I got there at 9 o'clock in the morning, guess what? It was what time I was leaving?
2, 3 o'clock
in the morning. I was still gonna leave at the same time.
Yeah.
We don't leave until the last person leaves our booth and we have like a 15-minute, 20-minute lull. And I'm like, you know what? Like, nobody's coming. And if somebody comes as we're closing up, we're telling them to come back the next day. But then we're so tired. Yeah, but then we're so tired that we don't show up until 3 o'clock in the afternoon the next day.
Exactly, yeah.
Because Maggie always asks me right before, what time do you want to be there? I'm like, I want to be
when
there
when I wake
10.
Up.
Well, that's what I say. I want to be there at 10. And then and then I look at her face. I'm like, okay, fine, 11. And so we wake up at 10 and we look at each other. And I'm like, you know what? It's okay. Just go back to sleep. They'll wait for us. Don't worry about it. And the funnier part of that is that we book hotels with free breakfast specifically to wake up early and have free breakfast.
Oh, my gosh.
To reduce our
miss out on it?
Yeah, we miss out on it for like half the event.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad you dived into this so we could really peer into the psyche. Of Vic going to conventions because it's a lot deeper than I thought. It really is.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say we expect bad events, but we prepare for the worst and we expect the best. There you go. So like we like to try to keep our overhead down. If you notice, the two little ones weren't with us this year. We sent them away as soon as we got to Brick Fair. Her brother and her father picked them up. That was just to keep our meal costs down and our hotel room costs down.
Yeah.
She was concerned that COVID was scaring everybody away. I was like, no, everybody's coming out. Our people are crazy enough to come out, and you were.
Yeah. It was a good time. Big year. I definitely want to talk about resin printing, though. So, jumping ahead a bit to the future now, it was partially one of your releases for Brick Fair with some custom resin printed parts designed by our boy Sean, StarConics4 on Instagram, for anybody unaware. And I just wanted to get your take on resin printing in general. So, you came out, first resin printed items were those really cool, what could we call it, galaxy fights? Accessories that you could use on a holographic title.
Intergalactic wars,
yes, that you can use on holographic tables for wars planning.
Yes.
And those were really, really exciting. Nothing's been done like it. I it was awesome to see kind of the community really get behind that and just be excited about something. And yeah, I'm just interested what you're feeling about the technology, because after Brick Fair, a lot of the people, the naysayers of resin printing, actually got to touch and feel it. And they're like, hey, this really ain't that bad. This isn't no 3D printing. This is something good.
Yeah. Sean and I went, because Sean was here throughout that time. It's not like something that I was doing at the, you know, at the seat of my pants. But Sean and I learned a lot over the last, 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Even he had a lot of learning to do. In terms of printers, techniques, and ways to make sure that we don't, because there's a lot of failing that happens when you print. Failing meaning that when you have a reject, see, the one thing that you will appreciate from 3D printing if you do that, coming from a UV printing world or even a pad printing world, is that when you have a reject with, for instance, pad printing, if you have a reject with pad printing, you know instantly. If you have a reject with digital printing, you know within a couple of minutes. When you have a reject batch with 3D printing, you won't know for 8 hours, sometimes to the next morning.
Mm.
And that's like a whole production.
Well, with the resin printing specifically, because it gets dumped into the pool, right?
Did I say resin printing? I meant to
you
say
said
resin.
3D.
Yeah, sorry. Well, with the resin printing, yes, specifically. It's not that it gets dunked in. If it doesn't build, you don't even notice it until it's too late.
Right. Yeah, it's just, it's obscured as opposed to 3D printing where you can watch it spiral up.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And so there were many nights where we would come back the next morning, and after 8, 10, 12 hours of printing, you're like, oh, this is all useless.
Mm, that is tough.
And so we would research why. How can we make this go faster? Why is it taking so long? Yada, yada. And we came up with our own little system, but I think we could still do better. I've seen other people's stuff, so I'm playing with ideas. I'm just trying to get our, because we still haven't gotten ourselves back up and running at 100% since Brick Fair.
Mm.
So once the printers are all running and shooting at the same time, then I can start messing around with a 3D printer again.
Right.
Because although it takes 8 to 12 hours, it also takes 8 to 12 hours, so it's not a bad thing to just have there, leave it there printing, and then you come back over here and do what you got to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Or three to 4 hours, depending. Those vests that we did, which should be coming out soon again, I just haven't had the time to unload that from the boxes. But once it goes onto the it should go back on the website. But those vests took, I think, three or four hours to do. So they're not as long as some of the Intergalactic Wars vehicles that we were doing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it sounds like you're definitely going to continue to experiment with that technology, though, into the future. And that's exciting.
So what I like about the resin printing, the 3D printing, is some of the things that you can do with it, you can't do with it. Well, I believe you can do with injection molding. You cannot do with two-piece and two-slide. It would be a very expensive, very complex mold to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I want to spend $50,000 on a mold to produce these vehicles.
Yeah, that sell for $3, $5, whatever
the case
is. Yeah.
And so the main reason why I would want to go to injection molding is to reduce the cost. But if I'm paying $50,000 to $100,000 for a mold that's doing this complex, because the mold would be like, 8 to 12 pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
There ain't no saving on that.
Yeah, exactly. The price would have to stay the same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or go up.
Right. Man, there's something with the resin, though, because I always have the same thing with the casting, because you don't know. It's just in there. It's like, huh, is it going to come out good?
Yeah, you're right. I've done that, the casting too. And you're like, okay, well, let's see what we got here today. And you go open up that one little mode and you're like, oh.
And it's like, okay. But that, again, that nice thing is you could have it sit there and it's like, oh, I get a surprise in a few hours if I mess this one up or not.
But then you have to try to figure out how did I mess this up?
Exactly.
What did you do wrong? And let's not repeat
that. Oh my God. It's so finicky. I'm going to get back into it probably within the next month or so. I got some projects, we could say, some commission work. If I can't get it to work without the pressure pot, though, I'm going to just have to buy a pressure pot. I can't work out the bubbles.
I did casting way back in the beginning. I remember asking for a kit for Christmas, and I got it. And I did a mode, and I casted maybe two pieces, and I said, I'm done. This is not as easy as it looked.
Oh, it is not.
And then I was like, oh, maybe I'll get the pressure pot. I was like, I looked at it. I was like, nah, this is not as fun as I thought it was. I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, it was kind of depressing to look at all I had done, the time spent. This was a quarantine project, though. So it's like, look, you know, what are you going to do? But sunk like maybe $200 into it, all this stuff. I mean, I still have some material to use yet, right? But literally, I have two guns. Two singular guns that I can hold in my hand and be like, yeah, these are pretty good ones.
So you have two $100 guns. There you go.
There, hey. What, see, now that I'm looking at it like that, we're up. We're really up. But
if you ever decide to sell them, that's $100 a gun.
And with that, there's still bubbles in them. But it's like these ones I can...
That's what I hear. I hear there's a whole market for rejects. I don't know.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Now, whenever I'm on like people who do the resin printing sites, they have those the reject listings for like $3. You get like a bunch of random parts. I always buy at least one order of it just to see what I get.
And how do you feel about it when you get it?
I can't remember which parts are the rejects and which aren't. So, see, I say this, but I can't remember the last time I ordered one, but. That's what I do. Well, because typically when I get the resin stuff, it's like a bunch of different items, and then I just lose track. And then I end up kitbashing all the stuff anyway. It's not actually made into a cohesive piece. So it's like, okay, well, what are we doing?
Yeah. I mean, you've seen my collection of parts. I think that's what you mean, basically. You buy the stuff and it goes into your collection, and yeah, one day I'll use it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. To the maximum. Dude, I literally just got that Toy Wiz order in. I have 100 MP5s that I don't know what I will do with them.
I don't know if I got my order in yet.
I wonder, I don't even think they shipped yours. I'm going to be real.
Why?
Because you bought way too many. They do not have that many in stock. You could have added 100 quantity and they would have let you check out, Vic. You could have added, they do not have 10,000 MP5s. They just do not.
No, I just need 600.
I know, but I'm saying you could add up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well,
the Toy Wiz store is actually
super
cool.
I should get an email.
Should get an email. They were super quick with mine. I'm glad. Yo, I'm so glad because I checked out like 5 minutes before you did. Because like I saw your message like, oh, I just placed the order. And I kept delaying when I actually placed the order. And like I finished my order, did something, and then checked Instagram. And you're like, oh, just placed mine. I'm like, phew. At least mine will get shipped out for sure.
I think I'm going to have to go back in and order myself 100.
Anyway, for anyone who doesn't know, the MP5s are retired now. So if you need MP5s, I'll be selling them $5 a pop. Hit me up. If you need it for your World in Darkness faction, we could do a buy in bulk discount. You know how it is. I got MP5 mods for the rest of eternity.
You hope.
Yeah, I'll blow out all of them and then end up with like one in the end. And it's like, was this even worth it? Anyways.
So, do you still have your M27s?
No, I probably have to reorder some. I should have bought a. I should have like talked to Will when the M27s first came out and been like, hey, can I just buy a bag of 100? Because I have no doubt gone through 100 at this point. Just between commission work and everything, I would go like on you whenever I place an order anywhere, like it could be Citizen Brick or it could be yours, and it's just like, yeah, I could use 10 at least right now. Yeah, the greatest gun Will's made, hands down. Anyways,
debatable. On.
Well, I have some favorites besides that one, but usability, the mod ability.
I hear you. I'm messing with you, dude.
Unparalleled. Actually, I believe it was Dr. Xbox Live who came in with a question, wanted to know your favorite Brick Arms piece that you have.
Like a favorite Brick Arms gun? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but I know what you want to talk about. So it doesn't have to be a gun for the sake of discussion, because his question did not specifically say gun. It just said Brick Arms piece. So go ahead, Victor. Talk well, about it. This is your infomercial for people to finally show interest again and buy your crap, literally.
What do you mean? I totally lost now what you're thinking about as opposed to what I was going to actually say.
What were you going to say? I was going to say the proto poop.
Oh, no, that's not my favorite. That's just the funniest piece that I have. It really is not my favorite. Because, I mean, everybody should know by now that I collect the APOC SMG.
Mm-hmm, of course.
That's my favorite gun in the collection, the Brick Arms collection. And I had to, and so now because I don't know if there's anything out there that I don't have. I mean, a lot of the,
anyone's mods.
I was going to say people have been sending in their mods, some really cool mods, but official Lego, Brick Arms ones. I think I have the most extensive collection, and even Will said that he doesn't have anything that I don't have. So the next thing that I started collecting was the battle axes.
Yeah.
You know, I was just about to say that I don't know why I'm collecting, you know, obscure weapons like this, but I think it's because it has less to do with accuracy. Ooh, that gun is accurate. This, like when you kids start talking about your guns and your mods and whatever.
Don't talk. That's Sean. Don't talk to me like that. I don't know.
No. But you and your mods, dude. I like zone out. I like if I were to mod a gun with what I know, my gun would probably have 4 scopes just to see 4 times as far as your gun. Like a stack
that
of
checks
scopes.
Out. That checks out to me. 4 times the vision.
Or a scope on the side of the grenade launcher.
Yo, that's just for a guy who wears glasses. He's 4 eyes. That's just for a guy who wears glasses. Simple as that.
You're thinking sideways. I'm thinking straight vertical.
I know. He can make it work.
Sure. But yeah, I mean, I like those weapons that are not fantasy weapons. Let's go with that.
Yeah.
Where there really is, because I don't think the APOC SMG is really accurate to anything.
No, it's not. Oh, I think it's based on a game, but exactly, it's not.
And it's
exactly reality. Mm-hmm.
I like it because it's like me, cute and stubby.
There we go. That's a good quotable from this episode. How's it been with the new Discord?
It's actually gives me a reason to actually go on to Discord.
Mm.
So like right now, I mean, I use Discord almost daily, but only for like the occasional direct message or to talk to Badger for a while. But other than that, it sits there.
I have a server on Discord, and that isn't even enough motivation to check Discord every day.
I like to check it every day so that I can make sure I don't fall behind. Because I like right now, I have like maybe, let me see, 1, 3, 5, about 6 posts I think that I haven't read yet. I'm good. So, because once it gets out of hand, it turns into my email box. And my email box right now has 20,000 unread messages.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Yeah, there ain't no catching up on that.
And so I'm like, Maggie's like, why do you have? I'm like, look, I can't hit delete all because I'm gonna delete some of the good stuff, and I'm not gonna go through it and delete all the crap. So this is Gmail.
It's true.
It saves it all. I have plenty of room. If I run out of room, then I'll go in there and delete.
It happens. My mom reached the limit on hers. She had to go through and delete.
She probably sends a lot of photos then.
Photos
of you
occasionally, probably.
I still have 50 gigs left.
Okay. Good for you.
And this email is probably almost as old as the business.
Wow.
Or a little older. Actually, no, sorry. This email is as old as Gmail. I got into it like 3 or 6 months after Gmail came out.
Yeah, what is Google doing that they could give us this free email service?
I don't know. Back in the days, they used to tell you how much, like they don't do it anymore, actually. But when you first started, it was the first place that gave you like 2 gigs or something. But on the login screen, it would show you it increasing on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, that's cool. But do they do that anymore? No. Or do they? I don't know. I'm a boomer. I don't know about this stuff.
Neither do I. I guess I'm a boomer too.
What was I doing?
What?
Oh, I was checking out a toy list. Okay, continue.
Oh, you doing it right now?
I have to.
Got to stay competitive before this releases.
Exactly. You know it. It needs to be in stock before everybody else gets in there.
Oh, and just going.
My job proclaims it.
Just going back, because if I was ever listening to a podcast and something got brushed over to annoy the crap out of me, the proto poop will be in the wrap up. It's literally just some excess plastic that came out of the mold, but it's rust-colored.
Rust-colored plastic.
Yeah, very rare.
And it's funny because I believe it was Jeremy who offered me like $50 to $100 back when I first got it.
Gosh.
And I turned him down. I was like, no, this is going to be worth so much more. Ask me how much I've been offered since then.
You'd have to pay them to take it away at this point.
Basically, so I like it. It's mine.
It is. It's your poop.
And it's my first time I got that at BrickCon. My first time ever able to rummage through one of Will's, not prototype bins, reject prototype bins. Stuff that not even he would sell.
Goodness, that's the real juice. That's the good stuff right there.
That's what I said.
Man.
I think most of my collection came from that bin.
Oh my goodness.
I forgot who the other kids were that were going through it, but we were like, oh, wow, that's for me, that's for me.
That's the best thing about the modding workshop is like the rejects he sent out this year.
Yeah.
Some really cool stuff.
He hasn't done that in a while, right?
No, he always supports, but this year I felt like there was more rejects, which gets you like creative.
Okay. Yes, yes.
About how to like actually use like the part. Like I had this like Car 98 that was completely like undermolded and like missing the connect. It was like the overmolded version. So there was like the overmolded bit and the stock, and like the two didn't even link together on the sprue, if you could imagine it. So it's like they were like floating like individual pieces, but they were like relatively close by. Anyway, I modded that up. It was pretty neat. But it like forced you to be creative because like it's giving you new unique shapes that you wouldn't have seen otherwise from Brick Arm stuff.
Well, it forces you guys to do that. Other people who are the untrained eye be like, oh,
yeah, it's
garbage.
Trash. Yeah.
Hey, Billy, $10. You want it?
I would.
I know it. That's why I said it.
Wait, for your proto poop?
No.
Oh.
Those parts.
Disappointing. Oh, I meant to. I should have asked it beforehand. Is Clippy Day going to be in September?
I suppose.
Do you want to talk about it?
I was supposed to announce it 2 days ago. Planning on doing it on the 18th of September, the weekend right after my birthday. Because it's always on my birthday or right around it. I like to celebrate with Clippy. Maybe I should get a Clippy pillow.
No,
but like his shape sitting next to me. Or I'll get a Clippy costume and put it on Jonathan.
Oh my goodness.
Or Noah. No, it'd have to be Noah, because if it was Jonathan, I'd probably want to hit him. He'd say some inappropriate stuff, and he knows how to get under my skin.
How would the Clippy costume even work?
You'd have like a black body with a Lego head on it. I don't know.
Okay. Now I'm imagining like you had to create a body for Clippy as well. That's like...
Well, what I meant, to me, the way I see it is picture the head around your torso.
Oh, and you're like in a black body suit. Yeah, like in the morph suit. Oh, that's too much now. See, I thought you just had the Clippy head on your head. That's like crazy.
No. I think he needs to be full body size.
Just go get some poster board and like wrap it around.
It's not as fun. Maybe you can make one out of metal for me.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
Yeah, right.
Clippy Day, sure. September 18th.
Yes.
Are you going to do a live stream? I've liked when you've done the live streams.
I'm hoping to. Yes.
Awesome. I still have that photo of you like face full of that cake that you did a few years ago. That's a great one.
I think we'll probably have to order a real one this year.
I gotta find the photo because it's so poorly timed and it's a chocolate cake and you look like you just have.
Which cake are you talking about? The Clippy cake or the chocolate cake?
No, it wasn't the chocolate cake.
Oh, I love that chocolate cake.
Yeah, I could tell from the photo. I really gotta find this photo. Hold on. I think it was on my iPad as opposed to my phone. I'm checking it right now. I actually have
it's
the iPad.
It's funny
right here.
That you mentioned that because now that I was thinking about it, I was like, I have a thing with smushing my face into cakes.
Yeah. Just a little bit of a thing. Oh, look, and I have the fist in your mouth picture saved right here. Goodness.
Yeah, I'm bad influence.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There was a cake recently that we got, and Sarah was like, Dad, no. Dad, I was like, what? He's like, no. I was like, I'm not going to do it. It's not my cake.
Man, I don't know where the chocolate cake one is. Maybe it's on my phone.
And, oh, that's what it was. It was a chocolate cake. It was Sean's chocolate cake. We bought him a cake before he left. And Sarah was telling me not to smash my face into it.
A lot of people on Instagram were asking like, oh, what's your favorite product? Blah, blah, blah. And I thought that was kind of boring. So what product do you wish that you didn't release?
That I didn't release?
Yeah.
It's funny because I look at this figure almost every day right now. And I'm like, man, that was a horrible idea. Or I'm like, man, I should have just done less of it. Because it was a fun idea, but I just should have done less. Oh, Diamond Joe.
Really?
What am I going to do with you? I love that figure, but nobody else seems to like it as much as I do.
I adore that figure just because of the Filthlog magazine.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's a fun figure that has nothing to do with nothing. It's just all... It's like... Hey, I have a printer. I can make stupid stuff. I made stupid stuff. Now I have stupid stuff.
Right.
Other than that, I don't think... Oh. Sean, what's his name? TR Lego fan?
Yeah.
I don't know what I forgot what his name is. Sean should know this one. It's I called him... it's the superintendent from Halo Reach.
I know which one you're talking about.
I think
the one that you had in stock forever
for like 4 or 5 years. I did it because of him, because I did it for a mock room. But I was like, hey, if he liked it and it's for this mock, it must be some, you know, iconic piece for this video game. Yeah.
If one person would want it.
Yeah. And so over the 5 years that I had it in stock before I decided to give it away, I probably sold about 10 of them.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I was like, OK, this is going into the freebie bin because this is taking up too much table space.
How many did you produce?
I probably produced like 100 or 200.
Goodness. Wasn't that like pad printed too?
No, it was digital. See? But I'm glad you said that.
Okay. Now that was like crazy smooth. I've always thought that was pad.
See? That's how good it can be.
Man. See?
Only Eclipse graphics.
What? Can we put out the other slogan? Print pad, be sad?
Yes, you can say that one too.
The alternative marketing campaign.
What do you mean by that? Well, scratch a pad or play with it for a long period of time. Let's see what happens.
That honestly is the one thing I love about the digital stuff is that I can throw it in my Stanley case and not be concerned. Because like I'm trying to reorganize some of my Sizenbrick stuff currently, and it's such a pain to have to take into consideration like will I look for it in the bin one day and it just has a huge scratch down the center? Like what?
So back 8 years ago, back when Marvel Lego sets started coming out, one of my son's friend finally got himself a Captain America. He loved this figure, took it everywhere he went. Obviously, Lego's pad printing. A week later, he still had it in his hand. I was like, oh, dude, let me see that figure. The whole thing was erased. I mean, you had like a ghost face and a ghost torso. From how much sweatiness and playfulness he was doing with it. And I mean, if you think about all the keychains that are in people's pockets and like
yeah, 2-3
years
true.
Later,
that's
they're
true.
Totally erased. And back to my beginnings where I hated that line where it says, for light play and display use only, that's why I gravitated towards UV digital. I appreciate pad, I love pad, but it doesn't have the durability that I want for my fans to have. That said, Pat also has that customability that you guys seem to like. And I've seen some of the stuff that you guys do. And I'm like, you know what? I see why for the customizers, why go Pat? Because you can't do that with the digital.
No.
It's just going to be a lot longer process.
it's almost impossible without destroying the plastic.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Some of the greatest mods have been like on those camo figures you've done with the sleeves, and then people getting crazy to erase off the camo so that you have some nice two-third sleeves, like, you know, half rolled up, whatever.
I promote the erasing of the camo. Go for it. Go for it. It just means you have to buy more.
And I even like getting rid of the chin strap on that one too, just so you have the glasses.
Yeah.
It does bring up a lot of options. It's nice.
And that's the main reason why I want to do pad printing, because of that part. Like, so for people look, I heard it said at the event once, you know, I'm not just a seller. I'm also a fan. And I'm like, dude, I'm also a fan. I'm fan first. I have to support my family in order for me to stay a fan. I can't be in this community if my family is not eating. Because, you know, you've met Maggie. She won't let me.
What's wrong with her?
Well, that and the fact that, you know, it's a family of five. I have to be able to pay the mortgage. But that said, I look at things and I'm like, oh, I wish I'm a customizer. A lot of the stuff that I release is because I'm a customizer and I can release that. It's not like, oh, this is going to sell. This is going to sell. I'm like, oh, this will look, you know, I walk around the streets, I walk around the city in the supermarket, and like, this will look really good as a Lego figure or in a Lego mock. I would love to be able to build it, but I don't have the time. So I make the stuff. Let's say I make 500. I have a 10% chance I'll see a picture of it in a mock one day.
Mm.
And that's how I see the stuff that I produce. That's why I get happy when stuff sells out, because I'm like, I might actually see this in a mock. I might, and then I'll take it a step further and be like, I might actually see this in a good mock.
Yeah.
I love details. I don't know. I love seeing mocks that are well thought out with greebos on the wall and landscaping, or because Maggie makes fun of me, oh, that mock doesn't have any details. Or if it's intended to be a really smooth mock, you know, with tiles and curves and whatnot, I love seeing that with my stuff in it, with like the HUDs and the movie posters, how I envisioned it in my head. Somebody else actually produced a mock with it in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the perfect promo shot of the item.
Yes. But by that time, it's already sold out, so I don't need to take the promo shot.
Of course.
I don't go to the person, hey, can I use this on the website? Because I'm not producing it again.
Well, you reprint often, so.
Yeah, that's changing.
Ooh.
I mean,
I welcome the change.
I don't think you've noticed, but a lot of the stuff sells out and is out for like almost a year. I've been producing a bigger batches so I don't have to restock, and if it runs out, then I'm like, if I get to it, because restocking takes away the fun. No mom wants to rebirth their kid. Oh, I love this kid, let me rebirth him, he's perfect.
Oh my god.
You always want to rebirth, you want to birth something new.
Yeah, no,
and so I want to create something new. That's where the passion is, that's where the fun is. When I go to my critics, my core group, you guys, and I show you a new design, you guys geek out. I'm like, okay, that's perfect. Stick a fork in it. It's done. It's time to print. If I don't get that reaction right away, then I'm like, okay, I keep mulling it over. And a design can stay on the shelf for 2, 3, 4 years. You know this. 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, that's okay.
But when it comes out, it's baller.
Yep. You're welcome for all the ideas that came out last year of mine. It's all good.
What strikes your memory?
You finally printed some whatchamacallit shirts, general business shirts. Maybe, I don't know, maybe printing on some Brickarms guns, like some really cool designs from this popular, you know, first person shooter series. But I don't know.
If you were here, I'd strike you right now.
I don't know. With Eclipse, exactly. You would Eclipse strike me right now?
Yes, exactly. But in all fairness, in my defense, that printer would not have done it justice.
Agreed. This is understandable.
So that's the main reason.
All plus in good time.
Yes.
Or I think I just made that up, that saying. But all in due time, whatever it is.
Due time, good time. Yeah, whatever.
Sure. Same thing.
I released it when I meant to release it.
I know it comes around. I know it'll come around eventually. So when's this contest figure getting done?
Son of a gun. Out of everything I expected, I did not expect that one.
I don't even have that written down, Vic. I don't even have that. You brought this one out of
I'm,
me.
I'm honestly shooting for Christmas for
Black
Friday.
Okay.
It's on my list. Let's see. Yes, but it's at the bottom of the list. Sorry, dude.
That's fine. I've been thinking about the face design we have, and I'm not feeling it anymore.
But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, it stays on the shelf because there's not enough excitement. Like, it's not perfect. I know it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Plus,
yeah.
I haven't designed the jacket and the legs, but
yeah. I think we have to totally scrap the face.
No, I'll use the face for something else. I like the face. It is a nice face. I don't know what's your problem with it. Maybe it's the print quality on the other printers.
There we'll is that, but just the design doesn't work for me anymore. It does. When I was like, when we were back to back working on it, like it just still low key was nagging at me like, no, this design just isn't it for the figure. But now, you know, with the distance and you can't eclipse strike me through the computer, I'll tell you, it's definitely not. It's not the one for this project.
See, imagine if I would have released it already. You would have been like, oh.
No. Once things got moving, I would have told you. It's okay.
But just so you have a general idea, between Clippy Day and the contest figure, if you see the new Fallout figure drop, then we're close to it.
Okay, there we go. There's actually a lot of questions. I was going to send you everything that was sent in, just if there's like product suggestions and whatnot. A lot of people are looking for Fallout stuff. People are asking, when's the next Fallout drop coming?
So I may have to crack open up my Fallout game just to get my juices flowing.
Oh, sure. Just a little research.
Yes. A little research, because mm-hmm. Maggie's right here next to me.
R&D. She's back now. She's cracking the whip.
I'm giving the headsets the look because I could hear your little voice.
Guest feature from Maggie Fernandez on the Bricks and Banter podcast.
Is this Billy's basement show?
Yes, Billy's basement show. Bricks and Banter for your information.
It's the water cooler of the Lego community, don't you know, Maggie?
Can you hear him?
Something about the water cooler.
The water cooler of the Lego community.
Ooh.
This, Bricks and Banter.
Oh, okay. As long as you're not being a bad role model for Victor.
No, I would never always. Be.
Always, always.
Never.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even my kids know about you.
I would hope so. Their memories work then.
Oh, no. You don't know the names they call you here.
That's so horrible.
I can't say them. This is like live radio. I don't want to, you know, little ears to get
live.
Hurt.
Don't worry. He could cut it out if he wanted to.
No, I won't cut out anything she says. If you cancel yourself, Maggie, that's on you.
If I cancel myself, I never got put out there, so it doesn't matter.
Block.
Bring it on. This might make me more popular then. Because, you know, I'm just Victor's wife. And once someone thought I was his mother, so.
His caretaker.
Well, I mean, she kind of is.
Wow.
My caretaker.
Wow.
You take care of me, no?
No.
Okay. I guess I have to hire myself a new caretaker.
That's fine. As long as the money still goes to my account.
I have a long list, and I actually have some loose Fallout products here that I have to put on the website that Maggie nags at me about. But it's like, it's not enough for all the Fallout fans. So I'm like, I want to restock it. You know, and then I also want to do like a new, if anything, people should, this is a good idea. Maybe people could send me a new, jumper ideas. Like, so up until now I've been doing, it's hard. This is hard. Okay. Because normally I do Fallout suits and I like to update it, upgrade it.
Yeah. Every new versions.
Yeah. So that's like the $12 figure, which is a basic jumper, but I also want to do a Fallout figure.
Okay. Yeah, like yeah.
The Vault Dweller coming out and whatever. And so I'm over here thinking maybe I'll put some armor on him. Keep him blue, but with some stuff over the blue. Like, this is him transforming into whatever. Into who the survivor he ends the game as. Mm. So maybe, I don't know if any fans want to send me photos of their guy, but the suggestion would have to be on blue.
Gotcha.
See, I don't know. Do you play the game or have you? I think you've played it.
I played a few hours of it.
So, like, you can get synth armor or different armor on top of your jumpsuit?
Yeah.
And so I kind of like the idea of doing something along those terms, or
Because it would be like the first one you would release is start of the game, and then this new version is you finishing the end game. That's really cool.
Well, I don't think you finish the end. You don't want to finish the game with your jumper and armor. You tend to change your whole clothes, but we're moving towards that.
Okay, so it's a mid game.
Yeah, yeah.
Loadout. Sure. No, I think that'd be really sweet.
Maybe I'll throw that out there. And you could throw that out there too. I don't know.
And if you want to give these suggestions and have them seen by Victor, go join the Discord. Boom. Plugged. There you go.
We should have a Fallout section there for that.
Get Badger on it.
Yes.
Stat. But yeah, you can find the Discord somewhere on Instagram page. On the Eclipse Graphics Instagram page. All right. Before we head into Copper Drop or anything, I got one or two more questions here. Where do you hope to see the community move into the future?
That's a hard question. What do you mean?
I don't know. Where would you like to see the community go?
I don't want it to go anywhere.
Besides up. Any changes you would welcome in the community?
Less animosity, less fighting, less drama. Less drama. There you go. Boom.
Agreed.
Because the word community is how I see it. The Lego community is the reason why I got into customizing, why this business is still here. It's not because of the business that I wanted to stay there, but because it's a fun place to be at. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't have met you. I wouldn't have met before Eclipse Graphics. I don't know. Most of you kids think I'm a cool guy or whatever. I still think I'm a dork, a geek or whatever. And I'm definitely shy as heck. So if it wasn't for Eclipse Graphics, I probably wouldn't talk to anybody. Mm. Especially not about Lego at a Lego store. At my last job, I found out later on that my boss, my supervisor, actually played with builds with Lego, because adults don't play with Lego. We build with it. And then he told me, don't effing tell anybody that you know that about me. Mm. I think I'd feel the same way. If it had not been for the Lego community, where it feels normal, we could connect over something, you know, similar, and we could build a relationship around these bricks, and eventually we get to know each other on a deeper level. I mean, firsthand that we get personal in our group. I believe that should be the Lego community, where we're there for one another, where one hurts, everybody should hurt, where one, you know, succeeds, everybody should be cheering them on. I hate the constant fighting and backbiting and the copying that happens. I don't mind drawing inspiration. If I release something and you release something similar but doesn't look the same, if I release, I don't know, I can't think of a figure off the top of my head right now, a Fallout figure, and you release a Fallout figure, I'm not gonna say you're copying me if it looks totally different or if the style is different. But if I release a Fallout figure and your Fallout figure has a lot of the same similarities that I took time to draw by hand and now it's in your figure, I'm going to call it out for copying because it's the same style. There's many ways to skin a cat. At least that's what they said. And if you're going to skin it the same way I skin it, you're copying. But that said, I'm not going to fight that either, because at the end of the day, the community will benefit from having multiple copies of the same thing. If I sell out, you have this other, you know, version
alternative.
Yeah, but I prefer that the community itself, like when I came into this, I didn't come into it to just make money and release stuff that people, obviously, that people want. It's never really been that, because I have a long list of what people want. I came in to bring things that people didn't have. So, for example, of that copying versus not releasing something that people already have, I've said this many times before, but about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, when Citizen Brick released his German boots, his black boots, that same year, that same day that he released it, I was halfway through printing my 200 or 300 boots in 3 different colors. I was halfway done, and I was about to load up the next side. And I saw Citizen Brick's post and I went toxic and I said, I'm not printing this. And I still have these 300 half printed.
I have seen those.
And it's still there in the bin. Because
I didn't know that's what they were. Wow.
for me, it was more like, you know, I was excited about bringing something new, and then he released it, and I was like, oh, you have this. I don't need to do it anymore. And I moved on to the next thing. Because, I mean, back then, I was more like, I wanted to be the first and only, or the first to release something. Now I'm more like, I don't follow my competitors because I don't want it to lead me down that path again. I'd rather just, my new thinking is, if you and I release the same thing that look totally different, the community could choose their style. And I've noticed more often than not, the community buys both because they want to support both companies.
Yeah, that's true.
So for me, it's just building more friendships, building back to your original question, less drama, less fighting, more originality, and more, you know, let's go beyond the brick and, oh my gosh, I just plugged in a name. Let's go beyond the building aspect of this and get to know each other on a real level. The brick should just bring us together, and then from there, build something together. Figuratively, yeah, and literally, I guess.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a good one. That was smooth.
I know. That was me buffing my nails, by the way, since you can't see that.
No, I totally agree with you. Definitely. Even further is my next goal, especially with this brick fair coming up, is kind of removing the boundaries between the painters and like modding military community.
I like that.
Because for no reason at all, we've kind of just segregated ourselves for just, it's like the section, the community of people who actually cut up Lego and modify Lego at the events is already so small, and yet we've split off even smaller. So gotta change
split
that
up, split off from what, from the painters?
Yeah, there just like isn't a lot of overlap between the painting community who does like pop culture items, stuff like that.
Okay.
And like military modders and stuff like that. So
well, next brick fair, I'd like to, I don't know, walk around with maybe two or three, and maybe you'll help me out with this, like trophies and even nominations that just us, we'll be doing it ourselves, Eclipse Graphics, but for nominating best mod or best custom figure, I should say. And, you know, I don't know, promote that, support that, because I don't think, I know for a fact that Todd doesn't, you know, celebrate in you guys' creativity. And the Lego community in general, you guys are like, you know, Satan's spawn.
Yeah, the black sheep.
Yeah. So I want to celebrate the creativity behind it, because it does take a lot to be able to seamlessly make a new gun out of old gun bits.
Yeah.
So I'd like to be able to do like a trophy and maybe, I don't know, maybe even a prize with it. We'll
That'd
see.
Be awesome.
Nominations and, I don't know, an award ceremony.
Yep. Got to blow up. We're getting recognized out here. Getting recognition. But
better recognize.
Were you hearing that people are saying that they might not bring back Brickies next year?
No, I did not hear that.
I don't know who was... this could literally just be a rumor, but I was hearing that they might... it's like too much of a task getting all the parts together, and then the theme leaders don't actually want to take the time with the judging and all that. And they're thinking about removing Brickies.
So as we keep talking, I'm going to have to go and check the, you know, I'm going to put my ears to the wall and see if I see anything right now. But that said, Brick Fair is notorious for rumors. Man, how rumors fly at that event. Did you hear the rumor that Brick Warriors got sold?
This year?
Yeah.
I feel like I might have, yeah.
Everybody kept coming up to me like, did you hear Ryan sold his business? Did you hear? I was like, where'd you hear this at? You know, like I didn't buy it. I was like, why are you saying that? Who's nobody wanted to answer my why or where or who. So I was like, I'm not buying this until someone tells me where this rumor originated from. And so one of the other guys wrote directly to Ryan, which would have been my first step instead of asking everybody else around me. To see if it was true. You know, 24 hours later, we found out that it wasn't true. But for the whole day, the day before, everybody was coming up to me, everybody and their mama. That's one of my old sayings, or one of my generation's old sayings. Everybody and their mama kept coming up to me. Did you hear this person that Ryan sold? Did you hear? I did not hear it because it's not true. But the rumor started only because he wasn't there.
Well, I guess Tyler sold too then.
Good point. In regards to the brickies, I don't know. I don't see anything here about that.
We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a willing participant in spreading this rumor. Maybe I manufactured the rumor myself.
Well, it's not going to spread beyond me and Maggie because we don't believe in rumors, okay?
No, it's not going to spread past anybody. Nobody who listens to this would spread the rumor.
Well, I've already discredited it. It's okay.
Yeah, no, maybe you're right. I don't know. I just heard from a few people. The only reason I was actually disappointed, though, is because I'm finally getting into mock building. This year really sparked it for me. I'm like, man, I got to build more. And especially with like collabs and stuff.
I miss mocking. I miss, and it's not just mocking.
You can mock people anytime you want. It's so easy.
No. I have builds. Oh, God. Yes, I have built in the past. I have built. If you go to my Flickr, you will see my mocks. And it was refreshing back then when I would either start up new techniques or study other people's techniques and use them for my mock. I was like, oh, man, I've never thought of doing this. And then I would make something totally new out of it. It's back to that creativity, and I miss doing that kind of stuff. I used to be able to build at least one mock a year for a contest or whatever. And I think once I left Cabbage, I stopped mocking because I didn't have a contest to build for. That's pretty accurate. That was the last time I built it, was for one of their contests.
What was the community like back then? When, like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like everything was so fresh then. Like, things were really only getting kicked off.
Well, in Cabbage in general, it was a small community, but I'm not sure which member put me onto Flickr. And then when I went to Flickr, that's when Cabbage pretty much died. In Cabbage, I hate calling it Cabbage, but I'd rather say that than the whole name. You actually had to compete every month to be on the council, I believe, to be one of the five board leaders. Whether it be, and I don't remember exactly all the details. I know that I used to compete in minifigures on a monthly basis. I would throw out something new so that I could try to win my spot. And they would do contests. I'm not sure if there were prizes for the contest. And those were build contests. But usually people like Luke.
Play Junkie.
Yeah, that dude would win it, obviously, if you've been watching his stuff on Instagram. People like him would actually win him. There's Rook, Knight. I don't even know if Knight's still on Instagram, but I know he was on Flickr. I believe he's a member of Gamer Lug. I'm not sure.
That's wild that you'd have to compete for your spot.
Well, it was this way. It was like
a rotating council.
Yes, exactly. So you wouldn't abuse your power. And it would also show that you're being active so you can get onto it.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
But then people started, flaking out because of Flickr. And then the bigger contest on Flickr would come out. So, yeah. But because everything was so fresh, God, even the most horrible mods were like hailed.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. I remember I used to glue on rubber bands and then onto like helmets or whatever so I could have that smooth strip across, and you put crazy glue on it to make it stiff. I made
revolutionary.
It is a pretty good, cool technique, but the figure that I made with that technique was in, I believe, Emil. I don't know how, or Emily. I don't know how the heck you pronounce that name from Halo.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I glued on some huge shells onto the shoulders. It was an ugly, ugly figure that everybody was like, oh, this is awesome. I hated it. But the guy who bought it off of me paid like $75, and I kept trying to talk him out of buying it for me. Oh, by the way, that guy is also known as Pekovam.
Wow.
And I think that was the last ugly figure he bought for me until he started doing his own sculpting and stuff. And I mean, he's amazing.
Andrew is incredible.
So, yeah. Back then, the littlest things were well held, and you were learning how to do painting techniques and whatnot. You didn't have as many people in the community to follow. There was no Tanner to follow and learn from. I believe it was me, Andrew, Pedro, and the Hazel crew that were doing a lot of painting and gluing and stuff.
Mm. You know, that's why I ask, because I feel like that'd be such an exciting time where everything's fresh.
Yeah, and I miss some of those guys. I mean, Andrew's now painting miniatures, not minifigures. 3D printed miniatures. Pedro's having a life with a whole bunch of cool prototypes that he has thousands of dollars of prototypes sitting in his basement now. He had transparent overmolded bloopers. I love this collection. Hopefully one day when his kid is a little old, well, his kid should be at least 10 years old by now. Come back, Pedro, if you hear this. I doubt it.
Do you remember what his flicker was?
Pedro 79, I believe. Now I'm going to go on there too.
Let's see. You talking about just how like the crappiest mods were sort of praised and revolutionary at the time, mm-hmm. is why I wish the Brick Arms forums was still accessible. Because there, I've seen like one or two photos that people have pulled up from that sort of era. And like there was some things that were way ahead of their time. Like I saw somebody who used a popsicle stick to make an actual wood stock for like an M1 Garand or something like that.
Mm.
And it's like, that's so ahead of its time. Like it was still pretty good. It was like really good. But could you imagine something today made like, man, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of stuff from back then.
Pedro used to use stuff from Home Depot, like tile spacers for part of his mods. He had this gunmetal that looked like real gunmetal. That he would use BB gun beads in a jar and a special paint that he would buy. You paint the piece, you throw it in there, and then you shake it up. And the damage, the wear that it would do on it made it look realistic.
No kidding. I'm going to try that out now.
So, I just found a figure that I have. This is ugly, but it's using a Lego rubber hose to make a helmet.
Send me the link to it.
I mean, the figure, it's okay. It's not horrible, but to today's standards, yes, it's horrible.
No, I came across that one. That wasn't terrible.
In your eyes.
It holds up. You decaled the shield?
Yes. That was
I really like what you did for the helmet for the whatchamacallit. I don't even know what you used exactly. Oh, it's that flexible tube. You just split it in half from Lego?
Yes.
No, that's pretty creative. That holds up.
I don't know if people still do this anymore, but I was the first person to use Prince of Persia, the claw. Yeah. So I would cut off the claw and just use that bottom part as the arm guard as a knee pad, or even a foot pad to extend the feet forward.
Wow! Yeah,
I'm trying to see if I can find that one.
That Prince of Persia line was really good. It was even better when it was on clearance and you could buy them up for like pennies on the dollar.
Dude, I bought out all the stores in your area. Well, in Queens. With only $1,000.
Yeah.
I literally had my corner of my basement almost to the ceiling stacked up with Lego boxes. And then I sold it all within 2 weeks. At retail value. If I would have held on to it though, man.
What's your favorite Lego theme? Like official set, whatever.
I'm gonna have to go back to, but just for the nostalgia, back to the Lego Agents.
Yeah,
I'm planning on buying all the old sets that this bad father took away from his son as a punishment and integrated into his own collection. And so now I want to go back, get them all at least used, because I don't feel like going through my collection and pulling out.
Yeah,
the
no.
And then. I don't know, building them up again with Jonathan.
That would be really sweet.
Can't find those darn knee pads. Oh, this is one of my favorite figures.
Oh, I think there's like a bunch of a big post of commissioned figs. Oh, yeah, I found it.
That one's one of my favorite figures, man.
Yeah, that's the one I just came across. That is really, really good. I like that one a lot.
I mean, I think just about all the ones that I did around, that's when my skills got better, I guess. That's when I learned, I did some research on YouTube on how to dry brush and
wash. I loved the TT radio on the arm.
Yeah, that was, I took you a while to notice that, huh? That's the first thing that I saw when I said I love that figure. Yeah.
This one came out really good.
I want to go back to that.
Where's the flamethrower from?
Flamethrower, let's see.
Warhammer?
Oh, that's yeah, Warhammer. I think it's Warhammer, and I put a handle there.
Yeah. It kind of looks the style, and I bet the, whatchamacallit, the knee pads are Warhammer too.
Yeah, they are. I forgot what, I used to save the website and just buy bits all the time. I'm pretty sure I still have bits.
Yeah, you do. Not that I would know, of course. That is a great one.
And that was the last of the series of my great stuff, because everything else after that went into like production mode. Yeah, it's kind of sad. I did a batch of tiny tactical figures, and I threw them on a website too.
Really?
And that was the last of my one-offs. But even those, yeah, even those figures were meh.
Do you have a photo of those?
My tiny tactical figures?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you one, and you can go back or forward from there. Okay.
Well, Vic, I don't know exactly what all from there is going to be kept in of us just silently going down memory lane of your Flickr page, but certainly some of that will be in the wrap-up post for people to take a look at. I think we described each figure as, oh yeah, wow, look at this one. It's, oh, and that part, that's crazy. So people should have a really good time figuring out what we're talking about as they go down memory lane with us.
Just use your imagination.
Yeah, you could imagine what these figures look like. So anyways, moving into our final segment here, we have Copper Drop. The first item up is from Nate's Minifigs, the sponsor of the podcast, with his new, not sponsored to be in the Copper Drop. I would have just genuinely put this in the Copper Drop. But anyways, the new backpacks that he's working on, they are currently on the site. Is it a cop or is it a drop? Yeah, they are on the website now.
Sorry, then it's a drop. Well, wait, let me go to the website. Because I was looking at the picture you sent me. If it's the picture you sent me, then I'm going to have to say drop.
Because he's got a few versions as well. There's ones with like a hoodie.
I like the concept. I mean, I've seen the concept before. I like the backpack. I just think he could, I don't know. It doesn't, unless it's intended not to look so clean and smooth, I feel like he could have done better with it. I don't want to bash the dude. Don't want it to come off like that. I think he's a talented guy. I think he could clean it up a little bit.
Well, it's resin. Once you get it, you sand it down a bit.
I'm talking about the details in general. Like, in its current state, drop, if it got improved to another version, I'd cop.
Fair enough. What sort of details would you like to see?
So the thing that I like about 3D resin printing is that there are things that you can do with it that you are not going to see someone who's injection molding doing. So, well, first of all, it's very, I don't know, very roundish, and I like the organic feel of it, but it feels a little rough, the organic feel, but it should have a zipper or some kind of on the sides, you know, like there's details mm-hmm. missing on the sides. That's my main thing, that it's not clean enough, in my opinion, for what it is. And then there's no zipper on it. Like, it's missing details that it should or could have. The zipper is not my reason for dropping, but it would definitely increase my copping. But the details, it just seems rough at the moment. Like, I've seen some of his stuff in person. I bought a lot of his stuff in person. This one just seems a little too rough for me.
Fair enough. Very fair criticism. Next item up, we have from Citizen Brick, Eazy-E. How are you feeling about this one?
I personally don't buy a lot of short leg figures.
Mm-hmm.
I love the face. I love that bottle. I love hate the bottle, because it's on my list. And yeah, anyway, You know what? Let me say cop. They're like more than half of the figure. I like it. The only issue I had with it was the price.
What was that at 20?
I think it was 25.
Hmm. Yeah, it was 25. It was 25. Yeah. I recall now. Yeah.
And that's the only reason why I didn't pick it up. I went straight looking for it, but I saw 25. I was like, no, it's in my eyes, for me, it's not worth 25. I'm not a collector. I buy it to resell it. So it's not, sorry, dudes. At the moment, most of my purchases are investments, and the other thing that I get scared of is a reprint in a couple of weeks or months, and it devalues it for me. I love the face. If it was sold separately, I would have bought the face separately. I don't know. The face really captures the character very well, and that bottle is hot. I wish he would sell it separately, but I know why he doesn't sell it separately. It makes sense.
Of course. All right. Last figure up here. We have from Brickmania, designed by Lando, of course, Leonardo da Vinci. I don't even know what to say. A character that I wouldn't have expected to see in LEGO.
It's a great figure. I'd cop it. My improvement would be the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of understand what he was trying to go for, that artistic, you know, flair of it, that, and the fact that it's so thin that it probably would have broken off as a mustache.
Yeah, how would the supports need to be for that?
Oh, and then the supports would make it an even bigger hassle to try to like cut through it and shave it clean. I understand more why, because you would have to, I mean, Sean would know better, but I think you would have to have like supports between the mustache and the beard.
Bottom of the,
The mouth area, basically. Mm-hmm. Which would be a pain in the butt to cut out and make look clean. That's the only complaint I have about the figure. Other than that, I think the figure looks great.
Yeah. With that said, I didn't even realize that the upper lip was printed as opposed to part of the cast from the photos. It looked seamless. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I like it's how unique. You know, the solution to that issue, I like what he did.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, a lot of the stuff that they do, I like their stuff. There's not everything they do is awesome, but a lot of the stuff that they do, I look at it and I get inspired.
Yeah.
From their military stuff, their I've heard a lot of comments, good and bad, about their thick lines, but I personally, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, and a lot of the cases for me, it works. It's a nice military Lego figure. It's look like Lego figures, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, totally.
Now, if you went to General George Patton, that figure, if you would have bought that one, I would have told you instant cop.
Which one was that?
That's the one with the white dog.
Oh, yes. I was just looking at that one.
Very little complaints about that one. That figure and the figure and the dog look awesome.
The legs are super, super nice.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually just saw that one as I was kind of idling here and scrolling through the rest of the photos. I must have missed that one previously. No,
Were you aware of that drop? Because it was at Brick Fair. I believe it was at Brick Fair.
Yeah, no, I don't. Anytime there's a Brickmania fig that I would consider actually purchasing, it's like, oh yeah, that's great. I'll pick that up. And then I wake up too late and then it's gone. So it's like, okay, well, I'll move on. I'll save my money. That's okay.
I get the email and I instantly click the link and it's already gone. I'm like, okay, well, sucks to be me.
That's how it is. I really like the Civil War one too. The jeans worked for me. Well, they're not jeans, but the...
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You use them as jeans.
I would. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would need a hip solution, but that one came together really nice. There's not a lot of Civil War stuff, so. Alrighty. This has been an absolute pleasure, Vic.
Aw.
Thank you for coming on. Maybe we'll do it again sometime soon. Who's to say?
Yeah, before 60.
Oh. I like that. I like those odds. I like those odds. I could squeeze you in. Before 60.
Or
I wonder how far out that actually is. 30 more podcasts. They're bi-weekly right now. They started off weekly. Now they're bi-weekly. I'm trying to do the math though of how far out that'd be. Of I can't count. I'll figure it out another time. But 30 episodes out would be crazy.
How many years have you been doing this? Because this would have to be like,
I don't know. I started it in, I think, November of last year.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be another year.
Yeah,
over a year.
Oh yeah. Okay. There's 52 weeks. I'm stupid. That's at least half a year. No. If it's bi-weekly, it's going to be a year. Well, what do you know? So yeah, look, that's what I'm saying. You're definitely in. You're definitely in before 60. Okay. See, I can totally agree to that. I can wholeheartedly agree that before 60, you are back on the podcast. How's that?
Sure. I don't know if I can believe you. I don't know. Can we put money down on this? Because I know money talks.
All right. You know what they say.
And I know you're not going to let go of your $5 bill.
Well, I'm glad I got you on. Now I could get Joe on.
Actually, I'm not. Gonna... Is that what it is? Wow.
Yeah, it was holding me up.
You know you were going to get banned for life, right?
Goodness. Then, Danny was saying to Joe at the convention, because he was talking about the sleeves.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny's episode, he went off about the sleeves because that was fresh at the time as we were recording that. And he's just talking to Joe. He's like, yeah, I really talked a lot of shit on that podcast. And Joe's like, what podcast? And he's like, uh-oh.
You sound just like him too.
Yeah, I try to put my Danny inflection on that.
I actually, as you were doing it, I pictured though, I could see him at the booth talking to him. I love Danny.
He's the best. He's the best. All right. Any final words for the audience?
Final words. I don't know. Stay creative. Stay creative and remove boundaries.
Wow. So inspirational. Was Maggie wowing in the background as well?
Yes. I don't know if that was a sarcastic wow or a sincere wow.
It must have been Maggie? Sarcastic.
Maggie, would you let a mom here remove boundaries? Oh my God. Remove bound. You can't let a mom here remove. Not those kind of boundaries, Maggie. Boundaries that keep us apart from each other in the community.
Oh my goodness.
Well, you're not taking it in the context of our whole conversation, okay?
Remove boundaries. Look, I'm all for removing some boundaries.
Okay, now I'm going to get myself into trouble with that one. I mean, in terms of removing boundaries, let's become more of a community. Let's stop being so segregated and set apart. Let's remove the walls. As Maggie said, let the politics stay in the political arena.
See, Maggie is literally getting herself canceled on the podcast. What are we gonna do? This is why I had just you on. We couldn't get through a full hour with her.
You're such a lot. She heard that from another room. It sounds like.
Oh boy, I'm gonna.
You heard everything he said. She heard everything, and she's literally in a different room, dude.
Do you have me on speaker?
I have you on my headsets.
Goodness.
Well, he's only killing one ear because on purpose, I always use just one side of my headset so I can hear the world around me.
Oh, well, that's probably why the other one's projecting out a bit.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's not muffled into your brain.
Okay, dude. Have a good night. Thanks for having us. And
yeah, thanks for joining me.
Keep building and keep customizing.
What do you know? So inspirational.
Build friends, build better relationships. There you go.
And that wraps up this week's episode. Thank you all for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you so much, Victor, for coming on, and I'll make sure to get you on before, episode 60. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend, leave us a review on iTunes, or go onto the Instagram page, like and repost the latest wrap-up. I'd greatly appreciate it. One last thank you to Nate's Minifigs for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. You can check out his website, natesminifigs.com, and use promo code BM4 at checkout for 15% off. Lastly, I cannot thank all of the patrons on patreon.com enough. We have Seth, Mike, Justin, Francisco, Dashbricks, JBricks, PK Custom Lego, Milo, Jay, Minibigs, Thomas, and Mango Raiden Mongo. That's right, we've got a new supporter. Thank you all so much, and I hope to see you all next time. Peace.